Hi everyone, welcome to episode 110 of Bucks UK TV. And we had our London watch party this week, David. We'll come on to talk about the result, I'm sure. But tell us a little bit about how the watch party went.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the game and the score, it was a great night, I think. It's good to see so many Bucks UK fans there. Fantastic venue, fantastic food, plenty of drink, which I think we all needed by the end of the game. I think it was one of our best sessions. I think it was a really good get together. It was great fun. And, I suppose this is very much what Bucks UK is all about. It's about sharing the highs and the lows together and that community spirit. We win together, we lose together. And it was just great to share the evening with everybody. Really good night.
It
Yeah,
was.
fantastic.
And given the price of Jaeger bombs at the venue, as great as they were, I can actually remember the night. So for once, I can echo that. Gary, you were there too. I can see you're wearing black tonight. So let's start talking about the game.
Oh,
It
do we have to?
37-39. Just give us your overall take, first of all.
Well, I said earlier, in fact, I said today, yesterday at the party, that being at the New Orleans game, that was the best experience I've ever had at a football match. I think yesterday was the exact opposite. It was probably the worst experience. And Tim and I have been to several games where we've been completely blown out the water, losing by 40 points, but I'm even more disappointed last night with the way we played, the way the game was coached. And I'm wearing black because it suits my mood, quite frankly.
Tim, tell us about your take then. So it sounds like you and Gary have already caught up on this.
Yeah, I think I would have enjoyed being at the party watching it with you guys rather than 150 miles away in Wales, but it was the old game of two halves. We competed well. We looked decent first half, both offensively and defensively. And then the long pass to Noah Brown seemed to knock all the stuffing out of that defense. And we then proceeded not to tackle anybody, I don't believe, the rest of the game. So it was just an horrendous last 25 minutes, which Gary said that was tough to win.
Yeah, well, David, let's break it down first. I want to start with the good side of the ball. I think the Bucks offense, they came out, they scored 37 points. Baker Mayfield had a quarterback rating of nearly 120. It wasn't a bad day of the office on that side of the ball, was it?
If you score 37 points, you expect to win. They did what was asked of them. There were still issues. I mean, the running game was a little bit more improved again, and we actually made some plays without being called back on flags. There was positives. There were still some negatives. I mean, some of the lack of finding Godwin and Evans was a bit frustrating during the middle of the game, particularly the offense stalled a bit. But actually, 37 points should get the job done. And knock them or whatever, you think, well, it was not a bad day at the office, in fairness, for the offense.
Tim, offense, report card, highlights.
Report card was very much improved. I thought the offensive line had one of the better games so far. We seemed to look more solid with Stinney at guard rather than we did with Matt Feeler. I've got White is looking to look much better as a back, but he's much better in space than he is up the middle. And I think that's how we're starting to find to use him now. We're not running so much as we always used to say, up the backside of the guard, first play of the game. That seems to have at least left the playbook for a little bit. So I was quite pleased with the offensive line and Rashad White. Baker Mayfield, we're getting what we expected to get out of him. An ultra competitive guy with some limitations. But overall, he's doing okay. I still got issues with the running game overall. Keyshawn Vaughn, I just can't see what anybody is seeing in that guy. You managed to tackle himself 4 yards behind the line at one point, which was quite funny actually. But yeah, it was good to see the emergence of K. Dotton again. He's remembered how to catch the ball. But as Dave said, the lack of passes thrown principally to me, to Chris Godwin, who literally, I've got written down, he got targeted six times, had two catches, but didn't actually drop a ball. So that must mean Baker Mayfield missed him by a fair distance.
I think the NFL statisticians are quite generous sometimes when they say there's a target. If even if a QB's throwing away in it, they're the person in the vicinity.
But the lack of use of Godwin, who is our best playmaker with the ball in his hand. Mike Evans is brilliant at going to get the ball. Doesn't make you that many yards normally after the catch unless he's in space. But Godwin is the guy. I just don't quite know why we didn't scheme to him much more often.
Gary, I mean, let's stick with the receivers then, because I think there's probably some rich pickings there in terms of highs and lows and things we'd like to see. And I think Tim's touched on one of them. What do you think was the deal with Chris Godwin?
You tell me. You know, you've got the best receiving tandem in the NFL and you're just not targeting them. You know, Ira Kaufman's podcast last week, one of them, they were saying that, you know, they would throw every single pass to either Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. Dave Canales has obviously got a better, you know, a different idea. The one thing about the offense generally for me is, I mean, everybody has given them a lot of stick this season, you know, averaging 16 points or whatever it is. But do you not think that because the defense has been, you know, not particularly good, they can't get the opposition offense off the field. So our offense is not scoring points because they're stood on the sideline instead of on the pitch itself. Just a thought.
It's a good point. I think you're right. David, just so obviously, Gary is saying, you know, we should be throwing it to Evans and Godwin nonstop. Turns out we're throwing it to Cade Otton. I haven't gone back in the stat books, but I can't remember the last time a QB two touchdowns in the same game. But maybe Gronk did it, but I don't remember it. We were talking last week, weren't we, about trying to get the increased uses of the tight end and maybe the depth at receiver. Do you think that was a success?
Well, two touchdowns, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Clay Dotton, what, six receptions for 70-odd yards, didn't he? He was our second-best receiver, so... Yeah, we definitely managed to find him. Obviously, a big unit. But just going back to the Mike Evans things, you know that if you just keep throwing the ball, he's either going to make a catch or he's going to get a defensive pass interference on him most of the time. We're going to always get big yards. And at times, I know occasionally Baker was a bit rushed, but offense line didn't do too bad. We've just got to have faith in throw the ball at him, for God's sake. It's, you know, we've got to move the ball. Too many of our offensive plays are just short yardage, you know. I mean, how many times did Wright receive the ball and things like that? It's just little dump-offs all the time. Or even we say Godwin, but I think two of his passes actually were probably behind the line to start. They weren't even positive yards. He was taking them almost in the backfield. I do think we need to be a bit daring.
I think that's a fair point.
And we were at the start of the season. We were running sweeps and so on at the start of the season. All of that seems to have disappeared. We still haven't had Gary's free flicker yet.
We did.
That was I'm just coming on to that. The whole of London turned to Gary at one point in the game.
It proves that Dave Canales watches this podcast.
I must be getting a beer at that point. I do apologise, Gary.
I mean, it didn't come off, to be fair. Yeah, a bit like the deep pass to Mike Evans and that offensive pass interference. That feels like the Mike Evans we saw a few years ago, where he fell into that trap of trying to push off an awful lot, or dare I say it, just getting called for it. But I thought Trey Palmer, Gary, was quite a bit of an upside that tonight, last night even. I was quite pleased with him.
Yeah, I like Trey Palmer. He's another one. He's going to develop really nicely, I think. He's already doing pretty well. I mean, to use Dave's expression, he's a big unit. He's 6 foot plus, I think, isn't he? And he's pretty quick. I'd like to see him stretching the field more in the way that Scotty Miller used to for us. But, you know, when Baker can hurl it 40 yards and Mike Evans is down there, that's proving that Mike Evans is you know, just as quick as the others.
Yeah. And I think Trey Palmer, to me, he reminds me a bit of Breshad Perriman. I was always gutted when Perriman left the Bucs, because I felt like he left at just the time where he was turning on. I think he was at the Jets he went to and just ended up doing nothing and, you know, just sort of petering out a little bit more. So okay, we'll hold defense till the end. Special teams next. Stay with you, Gary. I think Kamada met his match yesterday, didn't he?
I think he did. Statistically, he did. Mm. But he still averaged 53 yards, and their guy was, you know, slightly more, I think. You know, the one person last night, the whole season, the one guy you cannot lay any blame for the way that the team is playing is Jake Kamada. The guy has been simply sensational as a punter. You never hear of him muffing a snap on a extra point or a field goal. You know, sign him up now for a long-term deal. Let's get him for the next 10 years. The guy is phenomenal.
And David, sticking with the kickers, the place kicker, McCoughlin, again, from where we were sat in London, it might have been the beer, but a couple of those knuckleballs, they kind of had a bit of a curve on them, didn't they?
Yeah, and they felt a bit flat at times, but 50 yards and he's still on the money, isn't he? So, you know, he did what he had to do. So that was great.
It's the end result that counts, I guess. All right, David, we'll stick with you. We'll go to the defensive side of the ball. Lay it out. What went wrong? How do we give up 39 yards on a losing team? 39 points, sorry.
I think you could look across the whole of the defence, really. Up front, we're getting nowhere near the pressure we should expect. Mm. And you look at the actual players, you know, that they had out last night. I mean, they'd lost, was it four offensive linemen? They won their, like, fourth centre.
Dave from the hot dog stand was kicking at one point. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We couldn't even get close to them so many times. There was this big famed rush offence. I mean, White made it through and that. But, you know, offensive line is nowhere near the pressure. And the backs, I mean, we've been saying it all season and the season before. Every time there's someone wide open in the middle deep. And I suppose you look at that, the big thing, the big talking point everybody's saying, to travel down the field, you know, with less than, 40 seconds on the clock to get a touchdown. But it's not a one-off. It's just how many times is this Bucks football? You go back to the Rams in the playoff game 2 weeks ago against the Falcons. Prevent defense for Bucks isn't prevent. It's help yourself to a touchdown. It's where does it stop?
Oh, so Tim, I think David's posed an interesting point there. Players versus coaching. And I think there are a lot of Monday morning fantasy general managers, you know, sort of ready to give Bowles, Canales, possibly others, their sort of marching orders. I think maybe with the afternoon sort of simmering down, the hangovers cured, people are maybe coming to their senses. But kind of, where do you think the balance of blame lies between players and coaching?
It's got to lie with coaching to start with. Mm. You know, you lead from the top. You know, if you look at the sidelines and you see Bowles just stood there with his arms folded, not one iota of emotion in him. After Carlton Davis got beaten on the first one, and then he was wide open, didn't go for a touchdown just after that, why are people not necessarily not in their face, but there should be some strong words being seen. But all you see is that guy just looking forward. Canales does the same. You never see them hardly interacting with their players on the sidelines. Certainly Bowles doesn't get anywhere near it. And he just frustrates the hell out of me. A good defensive coordinator, still looking way out of his depth. You know, I was listening to his interview earlier and he said why he took the time out, just in case we didn't score. You know, let's look on the negative side before we try to put something positive into the players' minds. So, Baker, don't worry. We're going to call a timeout. It doesn't matter if we don't get it because we can have another go after that. Try and be a bit positive and go for the kill. But no. Yeah. You know, we've had all season. We watched the defense go backwards all season. But we played a bend-not-break defense this season. Let me tell you, the RAC wouldn't have rescued our defense last night.
Oh, harsh words. Gary, we'll give you the final word, I think. In terms of, you know, the units, we talked about the pressure up front, we talked about the secondary at the back. Obviously, we haven't talked much about the linebacking core, but I think that's part of the pressure thing. And, you know, it feels like kind of on the one hand, were the secondary on an island because we weren't getting pressure, or were the secondary kind of shown up maybe as not quite having the depth that we would expect them to have?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of both, in fairness, isn't it? If you don't get pressure on the quarterback, and yet again, we've made a rookie quarterback look like Dan Marino, you know, if you don't get pressure, then yeah, the secondary players are out on an island. But they have to do the job. I mean, Carlton Davis has been paid how many million a year? 15 million a year? And got beat for 3 touchdowns? I think the problem for me is that we've said it before on the podcast, that the NFL is catching up to Todd Bowles' ways. They know his defense. They know they can beat it. And for me, I think last night's game sealed his fate. I think he's gone. I was quite frankly amazed when I woke up this morning not to see that he'd already been sacked.
I mean, whether he should go or not, I think is probably one debate for another day to some extent. But the Glazers have never really fired anyone mid-year. Like, I must admit, I think if even if you decide you're 100% sure you want to get rid of your coach, I'm not sure what firing them mid-year necessarily achieves. What you're basically saying is we're giving up on the year.
Not necessarily, but you need a succession plan. And, you know, if they sack him at the end of the year, they're going to clean house and all the coaches will go. So they must have an idea. And that's probably the only reason that they haven't sacked coaches in mid-season, because, you know, the coaches that you want to bring in are employed by other teams. But I'm just convinced that last night's absolutely pathetic effort on defense, and he calls the defensive plays, remember. Last night's effort sealed his fate. I'm convinced of it. I think he's a dead man walking, unfortunately. Nice bloke. Was a good defensive coordinator, but the NFL has caught up to him.
Well, I'm determined we're going to end on a high. David and Tim, you each get a chance to pick one defensive man of the match, because I think there were some highlights in there. Tim, come to you first. Kind of, who, you know, someone's got to get the game ball. Who are you going to give it to? It was still heart, if not necessarily stats.
Can I do two halves? And I would give it to Shaq Barrett first and Lavonte David second. Because again, Shaq Barrett got the pressure early. Thought, oh, this is good. And Lavonte David is just Lavonte David. You very, very rarely in the, what, hundreds odd games that he's played for this club ever get a bad day out of him. So it would be those two players, but there are too many other players I wouldn't like to name within that.
Fair enough.
I think they should be.
David, who gets your game ball?
Will Winfield Jr. again, still makes plays. And he's the only one in the backfield that's delivering at the minute.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's fair enough. I don't think we're going to go into the post-mortem much more than that. I think we're, to use Mr. Belichick's phrase, we're on to Tennessee, although Tennessee are coming to Tampa, so we're on to Tampa. Doesn't make any sense. But let us know in the comments who you think the highs and the lows, who the game balls and maybe the fines ought to go out to. And we will see you later in the week when we're previewing the next game. Until then, solidarity and continually, go Bucks!
Go Bucks! Go Bucks.